following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxi bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
The Forcecast presents What's New in the EU? EU. A closer look into the Star Wars expanded universe.
Take a base of action.
Greetings, Forcecast fans, and welcome to another edition of What's New in the EU, our all-evasive action show. And this is actually going to be a hybrid show. It's going to combine our Cantina series along with our What's New in the EU series. Because we were lucky enough to have a few minutes with the creative team behind Evasive Action, that being Paul Enns and Tom Hodges, both of who have been on the show before, but came on to talk specifically about Evasive Action. And then we'll also wrap that up with an EU character profile on Antinous Tremaine, who is the main villain of the Evasive Action series. Now, if you are familiar with Evasive Action, it is one of the Star Wars web strip that are available on Hyperspace, which is the pay side of StarWars.com. And I'm not going to give away a lot of information on this. In fact, I even toned down the EU character profile just a little bit, just so I didn't give enough away. So if you haven't had a chance to check it out, do it, because it most of the series is up at this point, and you can follow what's a great storyline and a lot of very interesting characters that have played out in this web strip. So if you have a chance, check it out, because it's a lot of fun to read, and it's a very quick read, obviously, if you've ever been a fan of comic book style or comic strip style books, like as I was when I was a kid, the Garfield series. You read through those very quickly because of the way they're formatted and how things go. So make sure you check that out. But for right now, we're going to hop right into the Cantina with Paul and Tom.
Star Wars Cantina.
Where are you going, Master?
For a drink.
Sorry about the mess.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
We're joined right now by the creators and writer and illustrator of the Evasive Action web strips on StarWars.com, Paul Enns and Tom Hodges. Gentlemen, how are you?
Great to be here.
Very good.
Good, good. Now, both of you are veterans of the podcast, the Forcecast here, so we appreciate you coming back on again to talk a little more exclusively about Evasive Action and how that's the genesis of that has come through. Now, Paul, you're the actual writer, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Creator and writer, yep.
Okay, and Tom, you're the illustrator, and you've kind of gotten that whole, kind of put your own stamp on it as well?
I draw the pictures, yes.
Okay.
I'll say he's been instrumental in shaping a lot of the stuff, and he's thrown a lot of great ideas that have made it in the mix.
Excellent. Now, if you can kind of give us a background, obviously, everybody's familiar with the web strips, but how did this kind of evolve for you all as far as how did you guys get involved in the project?
Well, as you know, I was director of Lucas Online, so everything that goes online at Lucasfilm was my responsibility. And this actually came about an idea we were having with, obviously, Hyperspace when, Episode 3 was soon to be coming out, and we wanted to make sure that Hyperspace continued to have a lot of great value for our subscribers. And one of the things Pablo Hidalgo, who's content manager there, and I were, you know, pretty passionate about was comics, and we felt like there was definitely a room for something like that in Hyperspace, and we really wanted to give something to an Expanded Universe fan who maybe weren't getting as much out of Hyperspace as, you know, the pure movie fan. So that was sort of the genesis of the idea. We were both big fans of course, the strips in the 70s. And then Pablo and I both each kind of went off and said, hey, why don't you do one and I'll do one? And we kind of settled on that I would do a prequel to Episode 3, and Pablo would delve into classic era. And that's sort of, you know, how the idea came to be. And then from there, I really wanted to focus on, I'd been fortunate enough to obviously be seeing a lot of the concept art and a lot of things that were going on, and noticed this gorgeous planet of Felucia, which no one was really doing anything with. Dark Horse didn't have any Felucia plans. No novels were happening there. But at the same time, you know, George had in his script that Bear Sophie and Stassi and Ayla Secura were all there together. And, of course, as an Expanded Universe junkie, that doesn't make any sense, given everything that they were doing. But knowing that George, he's a fan of the Expanded Universe, in that, you know, Ayla even came from the Expanded Universe, but he didn't care that these three characters would never be together. Visually, that's who he wanted. So I got really excited just about the idea of, let's be the one to tell the story of why, you know, these three ladies were going to be, you know, on this crazy planet together.
Awesome. And obviously, with you telling the story, you've got to have somebody to draw it as a picture from there. And how have you gone about recruiting that?
Well, Tom, why don't you tell them the genesis story of how you and I got together?
I kind of told it on my first appearance on the show a few weeks ago.
Okay, sure.
I'll give the quick version. Was at Comic-Con the first year Hyperspace, actually it was just a few months after Hyperspace came out, had started up, excuse me. And at the end of the show, I wanted to go say goodbye to Bonnie Burton, who, you know, works at Lucas Online and wrote the You Can Draw Star Wars book, which I helped illustrate, but that's besides the point. I went to say goodbye to her, had a handful of drawings, and I handed them to who would be Paul, and he says to me, "You're Tom Hodges." And I go, "Yes." He goes, "I've been looking for you." And I said, and Paul, correct me if I'm wrong.
Sure, go ahead.
I said, "Are you going to sue me?"
Yeah.
So no, and then you know, it started from there, and it took a while. It took almost a good year, Paul, didn't it?
The genesis of the idea of the web strips through conception, I mean, through to actually happening, took a long time. We of course had to figure out all the rights issues. We had to figure out internally. We'd never gone outside with freelancers before. All of Lucas Online work had always been done by our internal staff. It's an effective machine, but a slow-moving machine in Lucasfilm. So I'm sorry that it took so long on that, although it's been nice that we've been able to keep up a semi-steady pace after that. Yeah, and actually, I mean, from my end, to give the ForceNet some props, I mean, I definitely, you know, as my job there, keeping track of what the fan sites are doing was part of my gig, and Tom's work just kept amazing me, and actually with some of the Batman stuff, I'd seen him throw out there too, and so when I had this idea in my head of, you know, what our web strip should be, I knew that, you know, this was exactly the style of art I was thinking. So I was definitely up for giving a Star Wars fan a chance.
Excellent. And now the first one that you guys came together and did was Reversal of Fortune. Is that correct?
Reversal of Fortune, though always in my head, it was going to be under a broader title, but I didn't want to tip my hand at the time, nor necessarily jinx it. So. Retroactively, I call it Evasive Action, Reversal of Fortune.
So that is also a part of the Evasive Action kind of storyline,
yeah,
as it goes through?
That's the beginning of the whole series, because that's where you get introduced to Drake and... Ekria? That what it is?
Yeah. Ekria.
I've been drawing her for, you know, 3 years. I just, you know, don't know how to pronounce her name. and Zonder, and I will say the coolest thing that I had the pleasure of doing was with Reversal Fortune, was when I got to show General Grievous as he looked in the film before really anybody, before it was in the comics, before it was in the cartoon. I got to show Grievous as he looked in the film. And I to this day, I'm kind of jazzed that I was able to do that. So, and I got to, and this, all the stuff that I used to get, like, you know, when I got to see how the clones were going to look, and like every day was like was just like Christmas for like a good nine to ten months when I was doing that particular storyline. I would be getting some of the cool. Paul would be sending me some of the coolest stuff, I swear. And it's to this. I still have everything saved. I still have binders. It's like my reference library for anything episode 3. Is these three gigantic 3-ring binders of just images that Paul would send me. And I love
And of course, it was great. We weren't, you know, there's very few people at that point we were allowed to send pictures like that to. So it was fun to geek out with Tom, because people at Lucasfilm weren't geeking out about it because they'd been living with it. But it was, Tom's reaction was just the best. So I enjoyed that every day, too.
Yeah, and that's such a difficult thing, too, because you're always thinking, you always want to show somebody because it's something cool and you want somebody to share it with. And when you're under the restraints of making sure that everything stays under wraps, you don't get to do that very often. So having that outlet is always great.
It was fun in the sense that, like, at one point it had become apparent at one point where they knew they could trust me with the material because nothing was showing up online and it wasn't like I was leaking anything. And the fact is that for all I saw, I knew very little about the script, but I saw a lot of really cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at one point where Paul would, like, you know, Paul sent me an image of Obi-Wan, when him and Anakin are fighting on Mustafar, and the big apparatus they're fighting on is about to snap and fall into the lava mm-hmm. river. He sent me this really cool image of Obi-Wan getting in position, and I was just like, I don't need to see this, but I'm so happy he sent it to me. But it kind of made me feel good that I was that trusted that they would show me something that I didn't even need to say.
Oh, Tom, I'm sure there's some reference need for it. I'm sure I justified it in my head.
That's right. There's always some reason.
You have to draw Obi-Wan in the corner,
right.
And you won't see his face, but yeah, that's, look at this, and that's reference. But that particular strip, and I loved working on every strip. I kind of really went overboard on the second part of the series because I wound up doing really heavy, like, tone, like painted on tones with the board and really kind of went all out on it. And, you know, sometimes I just cursed it, but I got through it. But at the same time, the story just really, really worked. Like, from Reversal of Fortune, which is kind of like a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are Dead type of story.
Mm-hmm.
And it moved into, you know, these three Padawans who have nothing. They have no home. They don't know. They know nothing since, because they were Padawans and younglings, and they were brought up, and they had nobody to follow them and or to teach them what they need to know. And, you know, and it kind of got to a point where you were like, you know, what's going to happen to these three? And you know, are we ever going to see them again? Are they going to make it? Are they going to die? So on and so forth. It's been fun. And also being able to interject characters that the fans are familiar with from like Shadows of the Empire and the Marvel years of the Star Wars comics, like we are
sure.
currently, and it's just been a blast.
All the elements are there, like you said. We've got the Shadows of the Empire, plus we've got Vader's in there, and he shows up obviously all over the place. And what's it like to kind of take on that task? We talked about that with Timothy Zahn a little bit, but what's it like to take on the task of not only drawing but also writing a character like Darth Vader?
I actually find writing Darth Vader to be really easy because of the fortunate time I was able to spend just hearing all the art department hash it through with George of how all of Anakin's motivations and how he's supposed to be. And I actually write Anakin. I don't write Vader.
Sure.
I write what I feel Anakin would say, but I always make sure that the line is phrased so that James Earl Jones could say it, and I could hear it if I had. But if you look at my stuff, you'll see, and that's why I've loved staying so close to the early years, that it's really, you can imagine Hayden saying almost every line if you go through it again.
Sure.
So that's both exciting for me, because very few people have been writing so far with such a young character, and he's still struggling with, am I a good guy? Am I a bad guy? I was a good guy last week. What's going on now?
His body's changing. He doesn't know what, yes. What's going on.
It's a dark side puberty, as they say.
Right. So, you know, being a cyborg is tough.
Yeah.
Writing Vader is very intimidating, but writing Anakin seemed less so.
Sure.
Drawing Vader? Not so much fun. but I will say that it's gotten easier and easier. Like, if drawing Vader, it can be easy in the sense that, like, particularly in this type of strip, because it's basically black and white with some gray tones, and you can get away with murder with that. But, like, had this been a color strip, you can't go the Todd McFarlane law, you know, when in doubt, black it out.
Mm-hmm.
and basically, Vader's a difficult character because he is a black-suited character.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's only so much, you know, and you have to be careful with it, because if you go too far, it's muddy. If you do too less, he looks like, you know, he doesn't look right. And you have to kind of take the good with the bad. And what's funny is that certain panels, certain strips, he looks better than he does in other panels. But that's just depending on, and you know, what it's going to take in that panel. But he's not, he's gotten easier to draw. He's not, but he's not easy to draw.
Sure.
So it's not like you're drawing Luke. You know, Luke's, you know, Luke's got a face and a head. That's, there's a lot of artists out there who I've spoken with who they, you know, they cringe at the idea of drawing Boba Fett or clones or Vader. And because it's, there's no features, you know, there's no emotion to them.
Mm-hmm.
I love drawing. I've had one of the coolest compliments I ever got was from Adam Hughes, who tells me I draw clones like nobody.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty cool.
That's a great compliment.
You know, and I thought he says he likes my clones, and if a guy like Adam Hughes likes my clones, well, darn it, I think I'm doing a pretty good job.
That's when you decide, okay, I'm going to go ahead and give myself a pat on the back for this
one. I'm going to draw lots of clones now, so it's
making pretty. I'll see how many stories I can do.
When guys like him or you know, and you go to a show and people talk to you about how much they like your work, and it's really satisfying that it's gotten recognized the way it has. I didn't realize how many people read the strip or have hungered for the strip. I mean, when there's no strip, I get emails every day. When are you doing the next strip? What's the next strip? What's going on? Is it ever going to be in a collected format? You know, things like that. Like they always, that's the questions I get constantly.
Yeah, absolutely. There's something I want to get to before we move on to that. And for the fans out there who haven't read it yet, that this is the spoiler point of things. So tune out for just a moment.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
The idea of the Inquisitor. That's something that I've always thought was a great idea, and it's manifested itself greatly in this web series. Is there any tie-in to that, or was there any idea of a tie-in to that with the new video game that's due out in the fall?
The video game is due out in fall. I was aware of all the plots and stuff that's going on. In fact, I even was able to pitch Drake. Boy, spoiler. Drake is not the guy.
Okay.
It's the biggest rumor right now on the forums, too.
Is that what it is?
I was able to pitch that, actually. And what I'm happy to say is the backstory in that game is so good that I'm happy that it's not Drake, because it couldn't be just because of the backstory of the guy, which I'm not going to give up. But it's going to be extremely satisfying, though they're not tied in.
Okay.
That's all I can say.
Okay.
But Paul and I discussed it, and like Paul said, he pitched it. So we tried.
Well, and I, you know, in the end of the day, the game is going to be just awesome, and so there's nothing happening in the script that's going to in any way contradict it, for sure, because we are working closely that way.
Yeah, obviously we're very anxious to see that, but as I was reading through over the past couple of years, Evasive Action started prior to episode 3, so it's been years now. It's
right.
The fall of 2004 it started.
You know, as I've read through over the past couple of years, you know, begins to come through, and Drake is a heavy character in it. And then when I started hearing about what was going to happen in the game over the last couple of weeks, I thought, where have I read something like this before? So I'm glad that they won't contradict, and I'm a little disappointed it won't be Drake, because I felt like I had made that connection. But I'll take your word that it's going to be something special. So
it's going to be satisfying.
I can't wait. I'm doing a book signing at the Presidio on Wednesday.
Oh, really?
No, not Wednesday, Thursday, with Bonnie Burton and Matt Bush. And while I'm up there, I'm going to see some of the LucasArts guys, and I really hope they show me some of this game.
<They're> like, you know, while I'm here, you might want to just, you know, for reference. So there's got to be something in there that can show you
for
reference.
Yeah, you know, I need to see it just in case, you know. Whatever.
Right, exactly.
But this may be a spoiler alert, so if you're back,
tune out again.
Paul, are people aware that Endgame is the end of this particular series with these characters?
I have. We said that right off the bat.
We did. I don't remember if we said it or not. Yeah, and it's kind of sad, because a part of me hopes that maybe somewhere down the line certain characters show up in a novel or a comic, or maybe I'll get a chance to revisit them somewhere down the line in post Jedi or something. You know what I mean? Because I'm not going to tell you who's sticking around and who's not.
Who stays and who goes.
Yeah. The obvious one is Ecria because of the way that the opening of the ship, and if you haven't figured that out, you know.
Yes.
But you know, things happen. I'm kind of going to miss, because I just started really getting into Drake, like into drawing Drake. Mm-hmm. Like, I finally felt like I've gotten his look down, you know, his particular look. I've finally figured out the way to make him look like he's, you know, 15, 16 years old, and that his look is constant, the way his nose looks and everything. So now it's almost over. I'm kind of bummed, but at the same time, there's some things being bounced around that really have me excited that I can't say anything about. So
okay,
yeah.
Well, I won't press you on that. But going back to that idea of what's doing next, what's happening next? Is there anything that you guys can tell us, or at least let us know that you're working on something, just to make sure that the fans know that this isn't the last of Paul Lenz and Tom Hodges.
Tom?
Paul, you go first.
Well, I think some of the audience may be aware that I've started a new comic book company called Red 5 Comics, and Tom and I are actually collaborating on something. It's a complete reversal on this one because it's Tom's project. It's Tom's idea. It's Tom's story and all that kind of stuff. And Tom, why don't you introduce the character and what it is?
Basically, anyone who's seen me at conventions or has visited my website has seen a section called the DeVille Knights. DeVillKnight. And the DeVille Knights is basically, the synopsis in one sentence is, imagine Batman getting married, kicking Robin out of the house, and his wife takes his place. Basically, it's a married couple. He's a doctor by day, she's a lawyer, and they're costume crime fighters at night. And they have a 3-year-old daughter named Rowan. They have a nanny who's like an ex Gulf War veteran who, basically, the younger female Alfred. And you know, and they have their rogues gallery of villains. We've actually created quite a few since Paul had me sign up. But basically, the DeVille Knights originally was optioned as an animated series. It's currently in pre-production. I'm working on a whole bunch of new things because. The DeVille Knights is now Midnight. MIDKNIGHT. Because of the company that optioned the animated series wanted something that wouldn't turn networks off.
Mm-hmm.
Which is understandable. I mean, devils and all that stuff. While you excite one demographic, you upset another. So that's what the comic basically is. But the comic's going to have a little more of an edge than the animated series would. Paul and I have been discussing some great ideas, some stuff that you wouldn't expect to be done in this type of comic. And while it sounds like it would be family fun, there is a darker twist to it. Some of the villains are outright vile. There's a particular character that Paul and I came up with together last week that out of necessity we needed them, but when we realized what we created, we were really excited about it because we were like, wow, are we going to do this? And when we introduce them, which would probably be in the second issue, people are going to be like, wow, that's kind of a different spin on that whole kind of situation. But I'm really excited about it. I'm excited about Red 5. It got some great talent on the roster for books. And I don't think you could go wrong. I think we got a winner here. The book, I just finished laying out all the pages for issue one. I'm waiting for Paul to look them over and get back to me on what needs to stay and what needs to go. And it'll be inked by James Buckshot Bukakis. We're really excited about it. As for Star Wars, I will be doing another strip. I just don't know right now who's writing it because Paul is busy with Red 5, so we're not sure who's writing it. We have an idea of who's writing it. If it happens, it's going to be really exciting for the fans. I can tell you that. If it's not, it'll still be exciting for the fans.
It'll either be really exciting for the fans or me again.
Yeah. Well, I think either way, we're pretty happy with whatever it's going to turn out because that's we know that with all that stuff that's been done, nothing is done without the utmost respect for the property and for what's going on and just by people who have fun doing it.
I told this to Paul when he was still with Lucasfilm, and I told him this from the beginning. I said, I don't care if I become, you know, one of those artists that, you know, does like one book a year and starts a toy company and never draws again. I'm sorry, I've said too much. But if I became that status of an artist where I don't have to work, I would still do a web strip, a Star Wars web strip because I just love it. I love being connected. I love that. I love the fact that a 5-year-old kid, you know, in 1977 said he was going to draw Star Wars for a living, got to do it, and still does it. And not only that, has a really nice, you know, relationship with the company that started it all. Have yet to meet George. I've been within 4 feet of the guy 4 times and never met him, but I hear that's typical.
Yeah.
So, it's something that I'm really proud to be a part of. But when it happened, I mean, I'm a man, I can admit it. I cried when I found out I was doing something officially Star Wars.
Yeah.
I really did.
What a big moment.
Because it was like, this is the 5-year-old kid getting geeky, and you know what I mean? Like, I get it. Like, I said I was going to draw Star Wars someday. I was going to do something with Star Wars. And I did. Dreams can come true, kids.
and you know, and like we've talked about many times, that's such an important part of also the Star Wars genre, because people who end up working there don't just work there because it's a job. Most people that go over there really have a passion for Star Wars and the whole property as it, you know, as it's played out and for what the future can hold. So we always appreciate as fans how great of hands we're in when it comes to all of that stuff.
No, I agree. Paul.
Of course.
Yes. Thank you very much, gentlemen. I really appreciate it. There's just so much great stuff that you guys have to talk about, and I feel like we could be on for hours, but really appreciate it. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Cool. Have a good one.
All right, you too.
This is a ForceCast Microcast.
My thanks again to Paul and Tom. Those guys are great sports. It's unusual that you have someone who's willing to give up their time for one interview, let alone for two, and both of them have come in twice to the cantina, and we hope to make them regular guests of ours because they're just a lot of fun to talk to, and it's always great to get the insight about what really goes on behind the scenes at StarWars.com, as well as the collective genius that goes into some of these stories and how the genesis of those comes forth. So really enjoy having those guys come on, and we hope to do that a lot more here in the future. And now we'll go ahead and jump right into our EU character profile with Antinous Tremaine. And again, I gave you the caveat that I scaled it back a little bit so that you aren't going to get any spoilers that will ruin the end of the Evasive Action series for you. So here he is, Antinous Tremaine. I'll see you on the other side. Antinous Tremaine began his training at the Jedi Academy at an early age, with very little knowledge of his prior life. He trained under Master Dav Kailanu until the Clone Wars led to a dark turn. During a clash with the Separatists, Master Kailanu was killed, and Tremaine was captured and interrogated. The Jedi believed him to have been killed until he reappeared 6 months prior to the end of the war, with the title Inquisitor. During his disappearance, he was shown the path of the dark side by the Emperor himself.
Your journey towards the dark side will be complete.
In the aftermath of the Clone Wars, Tremaine was selected by the Emperor to hunt down the renegade Jedi who engaged in the Jedi Rebellion.
Wipe them out. All of them.
In his search, Tremaine became obsessed with finding 3 young Padawans, Drake Logan, Zonder, and Akira.
Do not hesitate. Show no mercy.
The 3 eluded him at several turns until Prince Shizor provided information on them in exchange for information on Darth Vader and a promise to keep his mission a secret. Tremaine eventually earned the rank of High Inquisitor and answered to only Vader and the highest advisors to Palpatine. Known for his interrogation techniques, Tremaine had a perfect success rate in breaking any captive brought before him. His streak ended, however, when he took on the Jedi Corwin Shelve. He thought the intense physical torture was on the verge of breaking him when Darren Arcanin broke in. Tremaine defeated Arcanin and then turned back to the escape in Shelve. The 2 battled, and Tremaine lost his right eye and arm. Shelve escaped, and Tremaine was forced to have cybernetic replacements for his damaged body. He was given command of the Star Destroyer Interrogator and continued in the Empire's employ, pursuing traitors all over the galaxy. He disappeared after the Battle of Endor, and his current whereabouts are unknown. You can read about Tremaine as the villain in the Evasive Action series, and he is also mentioned in Galaxy Guide number 9 and Star Wars Galaxy magazine. Ah, those Inquisitors, all you can ask for in a bad guy, and much, much more. That music, of course, means we have come to the end of another EU Microcast. I'd like to send out my thanks, as usual, to Jimmy Mack for all his help with the sound, Jay Shepard, Dustin Roberts, and Dan Curto for all their help in getting the show together and all the research that they do. Of course, my best buddy, Jason, who I will be reunited with, as usual, on Friday's afternoons. And a special thanks to Bob Vestas for some help that he gave me. Bob, of course, is the creator and author of the unofficial Star Wars Encyclopedia, and he helped me out with some things on Mr. Terrain. So thank you, Bob. I really appreciate that. And a big thank you, of course, to you, the listener, for tuning in this week. Again, we'll be back on Friday, and keep your eyes and ears peeled for more microcasts, as they kind of, you never know when they might show up. And as a side note, for any of you who are looking forward to a review of Star Wars Galaxies, that will be included in our next EU Microcast that's due out in a couple weeks. Until then, remember,
the Force will be with you. Always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.